Yes. Good morning.
I don't know if your mic is on. Is it actually turned on?
Hmm. Yeah. Is it on? I think so. Okay. So this is finally my third lecture, and then I'm done with my job. Hard job, by the way. Talking about other people's work is hard. Anyway. This is the title of my third lecture, Complex of a First Order Augmented Lagrangian Method. And this is the first part of the talk. And then I will also talk about augmented Lagrangian-based algorithms for semi-definite programming. Okay, so an outline of the lecture is like this. So I will introduce the problem of interest and its rules. Then I will briefly review the exact augmented Lagrangian method and give some background and objectives for the talk. Then I will describe the termination criteria that we are going to be interested in achieving, describe how the augmented Lagrangian subproblems are solved, then present the inexact augmented Lagrangian method, which is first-order method, then give the iteration complexity bound, and then show how you can improve this complexity bound by applying the same kind of ideas to a different perturbed problem. Okay, then the second part of the talk will be discussing SDP algorithms based on augmented Lagrangian method. Okay, so I will start with the lower rank method by Bill and myself, then the boundary point method due to Paul, Randall, and Bigel, and then talk about the Newton CGAL method due to Zhao, Sun, and Tour. And then conclude the talk with briefly describing all the Fisher methods. Okay, so let's describe the problem of interest. I'm going to consider this problem here of minimizing f of x subject to h x equals 0, x in line a certain set, capital X. And I assume that capital X is a compact convex set. F is convex and has LF Lipschitz continuous gradient, and H is an affine map. So it is of the form AX minus B, where A is an M by N matrix and B is an M vector. So associated with this problem, there is the Lagrange dual, which is defined like this. You form the Lagrangian function, a function of X and lambda. Lambda is a multiplier for this equality constraint. You obtain this objective function. You minimize with respect to x over the set x, and you obtain this function d lambda that's called the dual function, and the Lagrangian dual is this one. So we have, I note that the fact that x is compact implies that the set of optimal solutions of CP is non-empty, and we also assume that the set of Lagrange multipliers, which is defined as the lambda star such that d lambda star is equal to the optimal value, is non-empty. Sufficient condition for that is that exists a slatter point. So there is another dual associated with this problem, which is the forming like this. You first define this whole augmented dual function. You give a scalar whole. Then it is defined in the same way as before, but you add this penalization term to it. And then you obtain the whole augmented dual in the same way. This augmented dual has the same set of optimal solutions and same optimal value as the primal. Okay, sorry, as the dual. Same set of optimal solutions as the usual dual. Okay, so. Pardon? Oh, yeah. Something is right. Okay, so. I think see. Oh. Okay. I think it took a fortune saving because she set up this way. But you should pay attention to this left hand side.
Can you get the previous slide?
Huh?
Can you get the previous slide on that side?
Okay, the previous slide, then I have to do like this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So here is the review of the exact augmented Lagrangian method, okay? So here is the augmented dual again. So you first I state this result about the augmented dual. This function is concave and has one whole Lipschitz continuous gradient. And the gradient is given by H of an optimal solution, H evaluated at an optimal solution of this problem here. And you can, this gradient depend on the optimal solution you pick, because H is constant at the setup of optimal solutions. Okay, so then the augmented Lagrangian method works like this. You're given a current iterate, lambda k. This essentially is an iterate in the Jewish space. You're given a current lambda k. Then you optimize this augmented Lagrangian subproblem here to find the optimal solution lambda star sub lambda k. Then you move from lambda k along the gradient of this function with step size whole. But this gradient is exactly h of this point, h of the optimal solution. So you obtain the lambda k plus 1 and you can repeat this iteration. This method can also be viewed as a prox point method applied to the regular Lagrangian dual. And okay, so viewed this way, you can prove convergence of this method because this is the steepest offset with fixed step size, which obeys a certain rule, and so you can prove convergence. But if you view it as a special case of the regular, as a special case of the prox point method, you can prove convergence even if we change whole from one iteration to the other. Okay, so here's some background about this method. This method is a classical method for nonlinear programming. You can find a exposition of it in these books. These are textbooks of nonlinear programming. Bertschika is a more recent book by Rosinsky. Recently, it regained a lot of interest due to its efficiency in solving large-scale SDPs and or its reformulation. So you have several papers dealing with this method. Bill and myself, Bill and Vanderbush, Yah and Randall, and this paper that I'm going to talk today, and also Zhao, Sun, and Tor that I'm going to also talk today briefly. So the goal of this first part of the talk is to study the complexity of a first-order inexact augmented Lagrangian method for solving CP. So say the idea is to assume that the set X is simple and so that you can easily solve subproblems over this set, just like the first order method that we talked about in the second lecture. Okay, so there are several issues that arise. How accurately should you solve the Lagrangian subproblem? Which algorithm to use for that? How to choose the dependent parameter whole? And finally, this is what we are really interested in. What is the complexity to obtain a near optimal solution for CP in terms of the total number of in iterations, including the in iteration, I mean the in iteration to solve the subproblems? Okay? And we are going to use a first order method to do that. I will explain that later. So let's first talk about the determination criteria. The optimality condition associated with CP is this. X star is optimal for CP, and lambda star is a Lagrangian multiplier if and only if it satisfies this system of equations in here. H of X tilde should be zero, and this is first order optimality condition. And this is the definition of the normal cone at X at the point X tilde. Okay? So we were going to relax this, and so our termination condition is a relaxation of this. So given two tolerances, epsilon p, epsilon d, we will say that the pair is an epsilon p, epsilon d primal dual solution of CP if satisfy the first condition. Instead of requiring this to be zero, we require the norm of it to be less than or equal to epsilon p. And the first order optimality condition, we say that it's satisfied in approximate sense. We add a ball here of radius epsilon d. The definition of the ball is centered at zero, with radius eta is defined here. So now we talk about how to solve the Lagrangian subproblem. For that, I start by noting that the objective function of the augmented Lagrangian subproblem has m whole Lipschitz continuous gradient. If you assume that, I think I didn't mention that, if you assume that f also has LF Lipschitz continuous gradient. So this is the Lipschitz continuous constant for the gradient of f function, the objective function of CP. So then the this function we have this Lipschitz constant, and so we can then apply a first order algorithm such as Nesterov optimal method. I think that's the only algorithm we can use for that, because that's the one that we know of the complexity. We could use steepest descent, projected gradient, but that has worse complexity than this one. This is the optimal method for solving such class of functions over the set X. Okay? So in exact augmented Lagrangian method, it consists of two types of iterations. The inner iterations for solving the subproblems, and in the outer iterations where you update lambda k. The inner iterations are going to be the ones for Nesterov's optimal method. And the outer iteration is described like this. The outer iteration, you update like the exact method, except that instead of using an exact solution, you take an approximate solution of the KAL subproblem. So this result shows how well this approximates the true gradient. So this is a easy result, but it's a key result for the whole thing. Okay? So once you figure out this, then everything else falls into place. So suppose that xk is a point in line x such that it's a eta approximate solution of the this kth Lagrangian subproblem in this sense. This is the optimal value of it. So it's a eta approximate solution of this problem. Then these approximate the true gradient in this sense in here. Okay, approximated by two square root of two eta divided by whole. And moreover, this is a complexity of Nesterov method. This xk can be found by Nesterov optimal method in this many number of iterations, where dx is the diameter of the set x. Okay. So now let me state the inexact augmented Lagrangian method. You start with lambda zero. And you specify two tolerances, like in the termination criteria. And for now, let's assume that this is an arbitrary sequence of positive numbers. Later, we impose conditions on this sequence. So at each step, you solve the kth augmented Lagrangian subproblem, finding a eta k approximate solution, this sense. This is where you perform the inner iteration. You apply Nesterov method to find this approximate solution, so I'm not including the inner iterations in here, but this is implicit in the method, okay? So, and then, if this residual is still larger than this number here, this tolerance, then you update and move on to step one and solve the, find another approximate solution and so forth. If this residual becomes too small, okay, this is the primal residual, then you move on to satisfy the dual residual. So now you solve the kth subproblem even more accurately with this accuracy here, describing here. And then finally you stop and you output this pair obtained in this manner. So this is kind of a projected gradient, you know, where you use the gradient of the Lagrangian with respect to x. And you do also an update on lambda. So you can prove that if the method terminates, then it will output a epsilon p, epsilon d primal dual solution of Cp. The question is whether it terminates. So it could keep looping between 1 and 2 here forever. So that will depend on how you specify the sequence of eta k. Okay, so here is two results about this method. The first result talks about the number of outer iterations without specifying whole. This is for general whole. Whole is the penalty parameter. So suppose you define n in this manner. This d gamma, no, sorry, d lambda. This d lambda is defined to be the distance of lambda zero to the set of Lagrange multipliers. So assume that this is known. So you can compute this n. Then you define, suppose you also assume that the tolerance is from zero up to this n minus one, satisfy the sum of these, satisfy this relation. Then the conclusion is that you will be able to find epsilon p, epsilon d prime, a dual solution of Cp in this many number of steps, outer outer elevations. We're not talking about inner elevations yet. Okay, so now the second result talks about the number of inner elevations. So again, assume that this is known. And construct hole in this manner. Okay, everything else is known. So the only thing that is arguable is this big d lambda, but we will assume for now that is known. And you choose the eta k uniformly from k equals 0 up to n minus 1. Then, of course, this is satisfied. And the conclusion is that the IAL method computes an epsilon p, epsilon d, primal dual solution in this many number of steps here, on the order of this. So if you make epsilon p equal to epsilon d, which is epsilon, this is something that is on the order of 1 over epsilon to the power of 7/4. It looks large, but this is the optimality condition here is quite strong. It's quite strong optimality condition. The termination criterion is difficult to get. It's stronger than the ones used by the other methods in terms of objective function. Okay, but we will be able to improve this complexity by in the next transparency. Should mention that dx here is the diameter of the set x. I think I've already mentioned that, but it's worth mentioning here. Okay. So, as a remark, I'm not going to go through the details. It is possible to develop a scheme which consists of guessing an upper bound on d lambda, and then apply the algorithm with this t. Even if it is wrong, we apply a certain number of iterations. If it doesn't work, we increase t again. And the interesting thing is that the overall complexity is still the same, doesn't change. That doesn't destroy the complexity at all. It might change the constant, but the overall complexity is still the same. Okay, now let's talk about how to improve the complexity of the overall method. The idea is to, instead of applying the method to the original problem, you now perturb the original problem by adding this quadratic term here, where x here is an arbitrary point of x. And then, let's say we choose the perturbation parameter here as epsilon d divided by 2dx, because these things make this choice makes things work, okay? Then, this is just notation. This is the augmented Lagrangian function for the perturbed problem, defined in this way. And this is the augmented dual function, defined this way. And also we denote the set of optimal dual multipliers for this new problem as gamma star gamma, because it depends on gamma, how you choose gamma, okay? So, I will not state an inexact augmented Lagrangian method based on this. I'm just going to give an idea how it should be changed, modified to handle this new problem. Okay, so first I know that the objective function of the new problem has a Lipschitz continuous gradient where the constant is going to be the old constant plus gamma, because gamma comes from the perturbation parameter you added to it. And also it's going to be a gamma strongly convex function because you add a strong convex term to the objective function. So this allows us to use instead a variant of Mr. of optimal method that takes advantage of strong convexity. Okay? And also, because the function is strong convex, we can exploit warm start strategy. What is the warm start strategy? Suppose you found an approximate solution for the xk for the current, for the kth subproblem. You can use it as a starting point for the next subproblem to solve the next Lagrangian subproblem, and that helps to improve the complexity. Okay? But for that, you need the strong convexity of the objective function. That's why the perturbation that you add helps in here. So here is the result we obtained for applied to the perturbation problem. Suppose again that this is known. Okay, otherwise you apply a scheme that you guess an upper bound on it, and will also preserve the same complexity. Final complexity will be the same. Then the inexact AAL method, let's say the modified IAL method, applied to the perturbed problem with this value of the penalty parameter. There are things undefined inside this capital T, cal T, sorry. I will describe soon. And eta k is defined as before, uniformly for the first n, capital N iterations, where n is defined like this, and tau t is defined in this way. So the final complexity for finding epsilon p, epsilon d prime dual solution of Cp is this one. So let's look at it more carefully. If you make epsilon p equal to epsilon d, which is epsilon, then this is the dominant term. This will be 1 over epsilon. And so the complexity now is 1 over epsilon times log. So these logs are not very large things. So this is a much better complexity than before. Before was 1 over epsilon to the power of 7/4. And now it's like 1 over epsilon. Okay? So the remark here I've already made, so I skip that. He says that you don't need to know this quantity over there. You don't need to know that. Okay. Let's move on to the second part of my talk. I think I'm on time. So let me start talking about algorithms for SDP based on the augmented Lagrangian function. Okay. Let me just take a break in here for a little bit of water. Just a minute. Okay, so I will consider this SDP problem. Sorry, there are two commas here, it's just one. But I didn't describe what the entities are in that problem, but let me describe in words. C is a symmetric n by n matrix. X is the variable, it's a symmetric n by n matrix. And this notation means that X is positive, definite, and symmetric, okay? And AX equal to B, A is an operator from SN, the space of n by n symmetric matrices, into RM. So there are M equations in here. B is an M-dimensional vector. Okay, so let me start by making the following observation. Suppose you fix an R in between 1 and N, then the condition that X is positive semi-definite and the rank of X is limited by R, at most R, is the same as saying that X is a VV transpose, where V is a N by R matrix. So we could try to solve P by instead solving this restricted version of P, which we add this additional constraint that the rank of X is less than or equal to R, then PR could be reformulated in this manner by just making the substitution here. Just change the variables. So you get a problem now that is non-convex, you destroy convexity, but now you don't have any constraint. I mean, essentially, you only have equality constraint, but no inequality constraint, okay? So V now is unrestricted. And so you could try to, first we need to understand the relationship between these and the P, okay? So this result here says that these two problems are equivalent in the sense that global solution of one is a global solution of the other, and local solution of one is a local solution of the other. And also, this P and tilde, which is this problem, is equivalent to PN, that's what I just mentioned. But Pn is exactly P, because if R is equal to N, this means nothing. This is a superfluous constraint. Okay, so remember that N, X is N by N. So to say that the rank is less than or equal to N, it means nothing. Okay. So the drawback of working, so we could try to solve P by solving Pn tilde. The drawback of Pn tilde is its large number of variables. This has the number of variables is going to be the number of entries in V, that's N squared. X itself has less number of variables because X is symmetric, so you just need to keep half of it. So this Pn tilde is not good. So the idea is to work with PR, with R much less than N, okay? And this is possible in view of the following result. This is a result by Vinok. Maybe it's older than that. You said that this is older than this, so I need to get this information from you. And also Pataki that gave a different construction on how to find this solution. It says this: If P has an optimal solution, then it has one whose rank R star satisfies this. So as a consequence, if R is greater than or equal to the, this is the largest integer, less than or equal to the argument inside, okay? Then PR is equivalent to P. So this allows you, as long as M is not too large, this allows you to work with R much smaller than M. I recall that M can be as large as N times N plus 1 over 2, but for a lot of SDPs, that M is much smaller than that, and so this R, this upper bound here is going to be small, much smaller than M. Now, but implementation, we really don't care about this theoretical lower bound. We really implement a heuristic, which seems to work well. Oh, sorry. So we apply augmented Lagrangian directly to that nonlinear formulation. Nonlinear formulation is non-convex, but we don't. It works, and the number of variables is relatively low. It's n times r, where r is the number of columns you put in v. R is dynamically chosen. In fact, we start with r very small, 5 or 10, and we keep increasing r whenever there is a need to. Okay, so we never, in practice, we never have to go to bring r that large to satisfy this. And this method nicely exploits sparsity. So the conclusion is the number of variables is large, since the method is a first order method, but the work iteration is relatively very low. No convergence proof is available to support the method, but it never seems to fail in practice. It performs very well in practice, particularly on problems where the dimension n of x is very large. This is one of the nice features about this method. It can handle problems where x is extremely large, so that you cannot even store x in the computer because of the large size of n. Okay? And for example, SDP relaxations of max cut problems with up to size 40,000 can be solved by this kind of method because you work with very low rank matrices. Okay, the number of flops per iteration is on the order of this size. NZ means the number of non-zeros. I didn't talk about S, but S, if you compute the dual of that problem, S is the dual slack for the dual. This quantity has a sparsity structure that doesn't change, it keeps stay constant throughout the method. Okay, so that's what I mean is the number of known zeros on that sparsity structure. So it's going to be R times the number of known zeros of S, number of known zeros of C, plus the sum of the number of known zeros of all the AIs. The AIs are the matrix that forms the operator tower, one for each equality constraint of the equality constraint AX equal B. Okay, now let me talk about the next method, due to Paul Randall, I don't know how you say the last name, this is my own pronunciation for today, I have to learn the right pronunciation, Wigel, does anybody know? Wigel, okay. But, okay, so I will change a little bit the format of the primer nodule. For me now, for the purpose of explaining this method, the dual form, the usual dual form, is going to be the primer. But I put it, this dual form into minimization form. So the dual is going to be what everybody in the STP community call the primer. This is a STP standard form, but in maximization form. So giving a multiplier for this equality constraint, I'm just repeating a little bit about the augmented Lagrangian. So augmented Lagrangian will reappear several times, but I have to repeat it so that you to introduce the notation in this particular context. Okay? So you form this augmented Lagrangian function. This is like the h of x in the when I started, this is like h of x, and this is norm of h of x squared here, okay? And the associated dual function is then the problem of minimizing this augmented Lagrangian function with respect to y and s, but there is only a constraint on s that is positive semi-definite. This Sn plus means symmetric, n by n, positive semi-definite. Okay, this is the optimal values of function of x, and I mentioned these results. If the problem has a flatter point, then you have a strong duality and also is equal to the optimal value of the augmented joule. Okay. So also, if this is an optimal solution of if this denotes an optimal solution of this problem, then the Lagrangian, the gradient of this optimal value is just this quantity here evaluated at the optimal solution. So then the augmented Lagrangian iteration is like giving an x, you obtain an optimal solution for this problem, and then do an update on the Lagrange multiply in this manner here. So like steepest ascent, you're moving along the gradient with step size 4, you obtain the next Lagrange multiply, and you repeat this. Yeah, sure. So let me give you a viewpoint. This is, I'm just telling you the story about the paper. This is how the paper is presented. But I will later give a new interpretation of the results of this paper. I think this interpretation is known by some people, but let me tell the story first about the paper, and then I'll talk about a new interpretation of the method. So then here is the dual function again. So same as that one. And it turns out that the dual of these is this problem over here, okay? And to state the next proposition, we introduce the following notation. Given an n by n symmetric matrix, we let u plus denote the orthogonal projection of u onto Sn plus. And u minus will be the orthogonal projection of minus u onto Sn plus, okay? And you have this relationship. U is the positive part of u. I call this the positive part of u minus the negative part of u. It's like real numbers. You know, you have positive. Okay, so this is clear. So you have the following characterizations of optimal solutions of star and two star. This is an optimal solution of star. X tilde is an optimal solution of two star. If and only if they satisfy the following relationship. You define this W in this manner. W is, okay, so X is fixed in this proposition. X is the Lagrange multiplier, the current Lagrange multiplier. So W is then a function of Y tilde. Then the condition is that X tilde should be whole times the positive part of W. X tilde should be the negative part of W. And Y tilde should satisfy this relationship here. Well, in view of this characterization, you can see that the optimal solutions of this prime and dual optimal solution for these two problems satisfy this relationship. They are both positive semi-definite, and they satisfy complementarity. So the idea of the method that they propose is to preserve the method will preserve this the whole time. That's why it's called the boundary point method, because it preserves that the whole time and try to achieve this. Try to achieve these and this one, okay? That's what the method does. So let me state the method. The method is like this. You start with, you choose a hole greater than zero, fixed, and you choose a sequence of, in that case, conversion to zero, and a tolerance epsilon greater than zero. Then you start, set k equal to zero, and then the two, initially you set everybody to zero, and okay, now you start the outer iteration by setting S tilde equal to XK. You compute, let me go back to the previous. You compute these Y tilde, just like in the theorem, okay, with the S tilde that you started with. Then having Y tilde, you compute the W, which also, like in the proposition there. And then you set S tilde, a new S tilde, you compute a new S tilde by, just like in the theorem, W minus and X tilde like whole W plus. And, okay, so now you check to see if the dual feasibility, this is now dual feasibility satisfied. And if not, you do this again. If it is, sorry, if this is, if this doesn't hold, that means if you have achieved enough accuracy, then you update now, You update means you really perform an update on the Lagrange multiplier, just like now. So this inner loop in here is like solving the subproblem. Whenever you have achieved enough accuracy, now you do an update on the Lagrange multiplier by setting xk plus 1 to be the last x2 that you found. And xk plus 1 is, what is xk plus 1? Xk plus 1, it's a, how do you view that one? It's just the last x2 that you found over here. Okay. And then you can restart the next outer universe. Okay, so now let me give an interpretation of this method. What this method is really doing in terms of optimization. Looking like this, it looks like magic, but let's look from the optimization point of view. The optimization point of view means the following. What one is doing is essentially solving, you remember you want to solve the subproblem. The subproblem would be the subproblem of minimizing with respect to both y and s tilde at the same time. But what the one is doing is it's fixing s tilde, leaving it constant, and minimizing with respect to y. Then you find this y tilde. Of course, depends on the s tilde you fixed. Then, this update here, this other update to compute s tilde, is essentially doing, now you're fixing y tilde and minimizing with respect to s. Then you find the s tilde. And the third, and this other update, what is really doing, you can show that this update is essentially doing a Lagrange multiplier update. This is the Lagrange multiplier update. If you look two transparency back, you will see that this is the Lagrange multiplier update here. So it's really doing that. Okay? So. Yes, you need to factorize at the beginning. This is one of the things, you know, this method works, requires this factorization. So. Huh?
You need to store it.
Yeah, you need to store it. But they have used this for solving relaxations of click problems, right? The Lovax theta function, which I believe it's AA star is identity or a diagonal, I think, in that case. So, it's some STPs, this matrix can be easily computed, even though the if you put an infinite point method, this matrix, if you put that complicated operator, is much more harder to solve. But for some classes of STP, forming this matrix and factor is not much work. Okay. So here, if they in this general version of the boundary point method, they allow for multiple inner iterations. They come up with a version that they say, "Oh, let's do just k of them and stop." This is a heuristic. Do k of them and stop, and move on to do this update, and so forth. And they notice in practice that the best thing to do is to take k equal one. Just do one iteration. Just do one. Minimization with respect to y, and one minimization with respect to s, and they move on to do the update. Okay, so they solve this can be viewed as an augmented Lagrangian method where the subproblem is solved very inaccurately. Okay, so they come up with this simplified version that you do exactly what I told you. You do compute y one time, and then use y to compute this w, and then do this update just one time, and then you already move to. So this is already taken to be the next point. So it's like doing the update right away, okay? And then you check for both terminations. If it's satisfied, you stop the method, you're done. If it's not, do this again. So it's like doing what I mentioned. Okay, this minimization interpretation is not in the paper. This is something that if you read it and check, you see that that's what the method is doing. Okay, so, you have the proposition about this method convergence, and the convergence of this class of methods is old. It appears in the book by Bertsimas and Tsiglis, right, on this parallel MIT Press, parallel computation, or something like that. I forgot the name of the title of the book. But this Tsiglis, how do you say the Tsiglis? Tsiglis, that's it. Oh, Bertsimas, you're right. Thank you. So they, you can apply this general theory to show that if the set of optimal solutions of P is now empty and P satisfies Slater condition, and also you assume that the operator, the adjoint, is one to one, then you can prove that the whole sequence converges to a prime dual optimal solution. The work variation of this method is can be described like this. In addition to what Inouye point out, you have to do a computation of this one time at the beginning of the algorithm. But this causes this preprocessing. Each iteration requires this number of flops. So this is like the low rank, but this is larger. In low rank was R times the number of known zeros of S. Here is N cubed because you have to compute those negative part and positive part. You have to do eigenvalue decomposition of that's on the order of N cubed each step. So conclusions, being a first order method, its number of iterations is usually large compared to second order methods that can be considerably lower than that of the low rank method on some classes of STP problems. Its work per iteration and amount of storage is at least order N cubed, as we have seen, and the storage is N squared, making it prohibitively expensive for problems with large variable matrix X. It performs very well in practice, particularly on problems where the dimension n of x is not so large. It is generally efficient for problems with large values of m. Now, in the paper, I don't have any computational experience with it. This method is extremely simple to implement. It's extremely simple. I think anybody can implement. If you have a MATLAB, you can easily do it. It has been reported in the original paper that the method encounters more difficult on extremely sparse or extremely dense problems or on instances where the optimal X or S has small range. Okay? Of course, the authors did not report the results on this problem. They just report the good ones. But they are honest enough to say that they found troubles on this class of problems. Okay, the convergence proof is available to support the method, but no iteration complexity is known for it yet. Okay, so let me move to the last method, do it to Zhao, forgot, Po, and somebody else over that now. Anyway, Zhao et al. So Zhao et al. Is also an implementation of the augmented Lagrangian method, but in a slightly different way. So again, consider the same SDP as in the previous method. So here again is the dual function in terms of y and s, and you can rewrite it in this form. It's easy to see. Just complete the squares in here. You can put it into this form, where wky is this matrix that depends on y only the y variable. Okay. So then you can minimize with respect to s very easily. You're looking for the whole s in the cone of positive semi-definite matrices that is closer to WKY, to minus WKY. And this is exactly the negative part. So the optimal whole S is the negative part of WKY. So you can replace this whole S by the negative part of WKY, but the sum of the negative part plus the matrix itself is the positive part. So you can simplify these to this new minimization where only the y variable is present, okay? And if you find an optimal solution of this problem, then the optimal xk tilde is going to be this. I just mentioned that. That's how you find the xk tilde optimal here, okay? That's this. And you do the multiplier update in this manner. You are having this yk tilde. Having this yk tilde, you, it's like this, but you can show that this is exactly the positive part of that. Okay, so the idea of Zhao and et al. Is to apply a method to because this function here, if you compute the gradient, the gradient looks like this, and so this, and if you compute the derivative again, it's not fresh air differentiable everywhere. Everywhere is almost. They say it's almost fresh air differentiable, so they apply a special kind of Newton method to handle this kind of functions. what they call a semi-smooth Newton CG algorithm to directly to this function here, okay? And so this is the Newton's method. They solved the Newton system to compute each such direction by using a preconditioned CG method. It's they say that they found most success with the diagonal preconditioning. It's a simple preconditioning. And so they solved this problem to find a near optimal solution. In this sense, eta k, where they, I don't know if that's the way they implemented, but they mentioned this termination. They choose the eta k that satisfies this property, and a few other rules as well. I don't know which one they use for the implementation. So I chose one of them for exposition here. And then they update using these updates in here. And that's how they implemented. Now, what is the warp iteration? The warp iteration is very similar to, you could put a number of non-zeros of phi, but that's nothing compared to the rest, okay? It's like the Laurent, but the first term is what differs. Now it's beta y n squared. This is for computing each CG step. The inner iteration here would be like a CG step. So it's beta y n squared, where beta y is something that is like minimum of gamma y n minus gamma y, where gamma y is the rank of the negative part of that matrix, gamma ky, and y would be like the current Newton iterate. Okay? So the current Newton iterate at each Newton iterate, you have to compute the Newton direction. So that's, and also in addition to that, at each Newton step, you have to do an eigenvalue decomposition. So at each Newton step, not at each CG step, but at each Newton step, you have to do an eigenvalue. So you have an N cube once in a while, amount of work at each Newton step. So conclusion, each warp iteration amount of storage is at least this, as you have just seen, making it prohibitively expensive for problems with large variable matrix. It performs very well in practice, particularly on problems where the dimension n of x is not so large, but is generally efficient for problems with large m. Convergence proof is available to support the method, but no iteration complexity is known for it yet. Okay. So there are other efficient methods. I just have one transparency to mention about. You have methods based on, these are more methods based on barrier functions. So you have works by Toro and Kojima. I mentioned in more the recent works, okay? Based on barrier functions or also IP. Although this last one is not based on interior point techniques. The last one is something else. But you have the papers by Toro and Kojima, and the SDPA code developed by Kojima and his collaborators. I think Inouye also have a dual method, right, that works in the dual space. For taking advantage of whenever if the dual slack is sparse, his method will take advantage of that. And so these are IP methods based on iterative solvers. You solve the Newton to find the Newton direction. You use iterative solvers applied to either an augmented system or its square complement normal matrix. Okay, and then these other methods. This is a more supposed to be a very efficient method. It's not an interior point method. It is based on the modified barriers. On this modified barrier subproblem, it has a Lagrange multiplier, just like a augmented Lagrangian. I do not know much about this method. I need to study more about it, but this method, I'm just gonna give you what it is so that you can get an idea. So you give this Lagrange multiplier and the sigma k, which is like a shift you do. Otherwise, you would like get the inverse. You would get the inverse function, but they do a shift. They shift by identity, and this matrix here it's positive definite the whole time. The whole thing has to be positive definite, so that you can compute the inverse. So you have this kind of barrier method. It's like the equivalent to the inverse function, but shifted a little bit by the sigma identity, and you add a multiplier, you solve the subproblem by a Newton CG. This is no problem. You can derivate many times, it's smooth function, and you solve for the Newton direction using an iterative approach based on preconditional CG. Preconditional is usually used, the most they have more success with the diagonal preconditioning. And the amount of work for this method in storage is quite similar to those for IP methods. And they do an update on XK. Once they solve these, they use the optimal solution to update XK. And this update is done by computing. If you view this, this is a variable. A star y minus c, replace this as a variable and derivate this inverse. Derivate, take the directional derivative. That's how they update this xk. Okay? And then they find an xk plus 1, they repeat this. They had a good success with this method. And thank you for your attention. Thank you very much.